Today, two myths, two facts, and two acts about prayer. Two myths, two facts, and two acts. We're all about prayer in our first reading in our gospel today. The first myth is this. Prayer is a way to convince God to give me things. That's not what this parable of the judge is about. Prayer is not a bribe. Prayer is not trying to maneuver around God enough that he'll finally give me something that I want if I strike a deal with him. That's not what's going on here. In college one time, someone said to me about Mary's intercession, how we ask Mary to help us pray and we pray with her. So it's kind of like, you know, like sometimes mom is more sympathetic than dad. And so you go to Mary and she'll kind of go around God the Father and answer your prayer. No, that is not what intercession is about. It's getting it all wrong. That's a myth. Jesus is trying to tell us that if even this wicked judge will eventually do what's right, even though he's wicked, how much more will God, who already wants to give to us, already loves us, already is pouring himself out to us, how much more will we receive everything we need as long as we're persistent in opening our hearts? And that's the first fact. Prayer opens us to receive God's very presence. God is already giving. God's already speaking. Prayer opens our hearts to receive God's very presence, first of all, and every other good gift on top. Prayer is communication with God. Prayer is that vital link we have with God. Yesterday, right here at Corpus Christi, we had a wedding. We had Christian and Lily Graham got married here a few hours ago. And in their married life, as they've already experienced, communication will be key. And if I ask them in a few months, hey, how's your husband? How's your wife? And they respond, I don't really know. We don't really talk. That won't be a good sign. Yeah, we don't spend much time together. Maybe I like a text every now and then. I'd have to wonder about that, because that communication is what makes the relationship go. In fact, we could say that really, relationship and communication are almost identical. Why should we expect it to be any different with God? The way we communicate, we speak and listen, and we pay attention, we're aware. But we have to ask, maybe our relationship with God is kind of like I send a few texts up there. I send a few requests and that's kind of it. Prayer is meant to be a much deeper kind of relationship that begins, first of all, not with trying to just ask for stuff, although that's sometimes where it starts. But all prayer begins with a look. All prayer begins with beholding. Raising our eyes to the presence of God who is already beholding us. Kind of spiritual eye contact. St. John Vianney was a priest of Ars, France. And one time he came into his church and there was a peasant in the first pew. The peasant was just looking straight ahead in the church to where the tabernacle is. Our tabernacle is in the Eucharistic chapel, but right in the church he was in, he was staring straight ahead to where the Eucharistic presence of Jesus is kept. And Father Vianney just walked up to him and said, what are you doing? And his famous response, I look at him and he looks at me. I look at him and he looks at me. The awareness of a presence. That's how all prayer is meant to begin, whether it's the Eucharist, whether it's the Rosary, whether it's reading the Bible, whether it's praying with others, begins with this opening our eyes, lifting our eyes to look with the eyes of the heart at the God who loves us and who is already beholding me right now in his loving gaze. Now, how many times have Amanda and Daniel just been beholding and looking into the face of little Ethan? And as small as he is, that beholding is actually, in his child development, will allow him to realize, I am a person. I am an individual. I have a life. And I'm known by another. We know that. So when we pray, we behold God. We realize that God is already beholding us with love beyond all description. And that is the very beginning of prayer. Here's the second myth. We should only pray when it's easy. That's a myth. We should only pray when it's easy. The fact is, prayer is oftentimes hard. Prayer is a battle. It can be very hard to pray. There are forces that come against us that do not want us to pray. The evil one does not want us to have that communication with God. Jesus says we should pray always without becoming weary. Or in another translation, without losing heart. Moses' hands and feet, as he's praying over this battle scene, God says, if you keep your hands up, you will win this fight. But he gets tired. His arms droop. His feet get a little sore. He's very old. And so Aaron and Hur have to hold up his hands so they can be victorious. It's an image of how prayer can be taxing, and we need to help each other. Just like with human relationships, there are times when in our communication, it can be hard to have a certain conversation. It can be hard to approach someone, to meet their eyes. But those are some of the most important times that advance those relationships. You know, when you have to have a hard conversation to reconcile, to argue, to work through something, you look back and you realize, okay, that was hard, but I really need to have that conversation. I really need to reveal myself and to listen in that way. It's the same thing with God. Prayer can often be hard. But if we give up praying, if we stop praying because, well, I'm not really feeling it right now. Isn't there so many other more important things to do besides pray? I'll do it later. We miss those very important parts of the relationship where God calls us into the struggle, just like human relationships. That's why prayer is not a science. You can't decipher it. It's an art that has to be learned. We have to be mentored and taught how to pray. We have to practice and experiment to learn how God speaks to us. We have an amazing universal Catholic spiritual tradition that does teach us how to pray. And we learn from that. We draw from that. But at the same time, each of us also has a very unique relationship with God. And each of us needs to learn how God desires to be in communion with us and how we're called to respond, as all of us are unique and different. So if the first myth is that we should only pray when it's easy, the fact is we're called to pray always without becoming weary. And we help each other in that. What are the two acts? The two acts we can kind of take forth and respond here. Well, first of all, I suggest to you as one of the first acts that we can do to grow in prayer is to grow in the prayer of adoration. Adoration means to, again, behold and look into the presence of another. When Christian and Lily were standing at the altar here yesterday to say their vows, first of all, I enjoyed them because they were a very giggly couple. I kind of enjoy that in weddings, and the couple is just kind of, they're laughing, just having a great time, a little bit of nervous nerves there as well. But saying their vows face to face, and as they looked at each other throughout the day, you could tell there was this adoring of their spouse. It's admiring, even just silently contemplating, wow, this person I'm now bonded to, till death do us part. God invites us into that prayer of adoration in the stillness of that contemplative looking that is so powerful and so life-changing. We do that especially in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. So we have the tabernacle in our Eucharistic chapel down here with some chairs, some kneelers, some books. It's a great place to come when the church is open and just to adore the Eucharistic presence of Christ. And in our office, there is also a tabernacle there, a quiet place of prayer, the old sister's chapel. Just come in during the day and just sit down and just behold the eyes of Christ in the heart. And also, in the parish center at St. Rose of Lima is the Perpetual Adoration Chapel, open day and night. where the Eucharist is exposed on the altar and where we can come and pray with the Lord and meet the Lord and just raise our eyes to Him. And even though the chapel is at St. Rose, it's a chapel for all people. People come in there from Corpus Christi, from all kinds of parishes. It's open to all. I encourage you, if you haven't already spent some time like that, to try that this week. To go before one of these places of stillness and prayer, and just to adore the Lord, to raise our eyes to the Lord, and know that we are beheld by eyes of love ourselves. That's the first act. The second act is that in order to pray and learn how to pray, we should pray with partners. Partners. Moses had Aaron and Hur to help him in that prayer. And we ourselves, we need to learn and grow deeper in prayer through praying with one another in all sorts of ways. We need to help each other, especially with learning how to pray spontaneously and out loud. You know, Our Fathers and Hail Marys are great, but I think sometimes Catholics are afraid to pray out loud. They're afraid, they just let their heart open up because it's scary sometimes. But that's our tradition, that's our prayer. We're called to grow in that. One of the most beautiful things that was so just providential time-wise was when I was on the confirmation retreat last weekend, and our confirmandi, our teens and teen mentors, we had several times to pray, and they'd sit in circles, we'd pass a candle around, and each of them took a chance to pray out loud with what's on their heart in dim lighting, these candles burning. The prayers were amazing. They were so moving for me. I think because that's been a tradition where all these older teens have learned prayer. It also shows the kind of prayer that we have that saturates all of our ministries here at Corpus Christi. Every one of our activities should be saturated somehow with prayer. And for those teens who maybe that was a new thing for them, they really began to learn the art of praying from the heart. They took that on in a new way through that partnership in prayer. So brothers and sisters, the Lord wants to have a deep and life-giving relationship with each one of us. We're called to pray always. This week, pray without ceasing. Make that time for prayer. Take that stillness for prayer. When during the week is God calling you to pray in a new way? Who in your life is God inviting you to take a risk with and just say, hey, can we pray together out loud a little bit? I'll take a turn, you take a turn. Bear with me as I'm maybe a little awkward, maybe a little unsure. Can we take that risk with other people in our ministries, in our families, that we can take upon this art of prayer and abide with the Lord who wants to give us every good thing, who wants to answer his servants speedily and without delay?
You remember?
I don't think I've been there.
In 23 days.